Good morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as we continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew 5 through 7. We are coming to the end of Matthew 6. We'll pick up in verse number 25 here in just a few minutes. Someone has rightfully said that money is the great revealer of the heart. As you know, money in of itself is not evil, but it's the wrong view or the wrong attitude toward money. The Apostle Paul would say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." As you consider the words of the Apostle Paul, we can see from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, that it was money, it was the material that caused some to fall away from the faith. You see, this is what made the Pharisees and the scribes so corrupt. In Luke chapter 16, verse number 14, Jesus said the Pharisees were lovers of money. You see, the Pharisees believed that being rich was a sign of holiness, that God was blessing them. They believed that being rich was God's stamp of divine approval. You can only imagine how surprised they were when they heard Jesus say in Matthew 19, 23 through 26, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, when you look at Matthew 19, 23 through 26, you really need to keep Mark's account in Mark 10, verse 24 in the mind, because Jesus says it's hard for a rich man who trusts in his riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 19, 20 through 26. You remember before Matthew 19, verse 23, you have the parable of the rich young ruler. And so when Jesus talked about being hard to enter the kingdom because of riches, you know how surprised the Pharisees must have been. As we turn our attention now to Matthew chapter 6, this is why Jesus Christ teaches us as His citizens that we learn to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moss doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart is where your treasure is, verse number 21. If we're investing in the spiritual, laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, Jesus says that our whole life will be focused on the spiritual. If we're investing in the spiritual, our heart will be focused on the spiritual. And if our heart is focused on the spiritual, our whole lives will be filled with spiritual things. I believe that's the second part of what Paul is talking about there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I mentioned verse 10 already. The love of money is the root of all evil. And Paul again talks about that some fell away because of the material. But then in verse number 17, Paul goes on to say, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works," listen to it, "ready to distribute, willing to communicate." You know, as we think about all of these verses, all of us in here should be considering whether or not we are investing in the spiritual. That's the context of Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Jesus is encouraging all of us to invest in the spiritual, to take the resources that God has blessed us with and use them in a spiritual way for His glory to do good things in the kingdom of God. Remember what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, verse number 16. But to do good and to communicate, some translations, but to do good and to share, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God knows whether or not we're sharing. God knows whether or not if we're investing in the spiritual. But as you see how this applies to us, if we're investing in the spiritual, that tells us where our heart is. That tells us that our heart is on our God. Again, your heart is where your treasure is. Your heart is where your treasure is. God wants us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So our heart will be focused on spiritual things. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. And beginning at verse number 25, Jesus says in verse number 25, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Jesus is still continuing with the same thought that He presented back in verse number 19. And that is, as citizens of God's kingdom, we must have the right view toward the material. As citizens of God's kingdom, we must learn to invest in the spiritual. But when you look at verse number 25, there are things that can keep us from investing in the spiritual. Sometimes we don't invest in the spiritual because Jesus says there in verse number 25, we are worried about life. We're worried about what we're going to wear. We're worried about where we're going to live. We're worried about what we're going to eat. If we're like most people, we spend time thinking and worrying about the things of life, a house, a car, a wardrobe, a bank account, a savings account, stocks, bonds, retirement, on and on we can go. But watch this, be very careful with this context and the conclusions that you draw. There's nothing wrong with planning around these things that we just mentioned. There's a difference between planning and worrying. By the way, when you go back to the book of Proverbs, God encourages us to make plans. God encourages us to be wise as we look toward the future. In fact, in Proverbs 21, verse number 5, Solomon says, "The plans of the diligent lead to plenty." The plans of the diligent. Solomon is talking about one who plans, one who invests properly, even here in the physical, has plenty. We have to be wise in our understanding. Jesus here is talking about having the right perspective toward the material. Don't worry about life. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse number 15, that He talks about life and He says, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." That's not what life is about. In John 6, verse 27, Jesus says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Don't allow the things of this life, the material, your possessions, to be the number one priority of your life. Don't worry about those things. Don't focus on those things. Your life should center around God. Our focus should be on God, not possessions, not things. Do you realize that Jesus taught more about the material than He did heaven and hell combined? Did you realize that when you look at God's Word, there are over 500 references to prayer. When you look at the Bible, there are over 500 references to faith. When you look at the Bible, there are over 2,000 references centering around the material. Because it is a serious issue. Now go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. As you look at Matthew 6, verse number 25, there is a repeated word. Anytime you're looking at a context and you see a repeated word, it's there for a reason. There's an important thought there. As you look at this context, you'll notice Jesus says, "Take no thoughts." Other translations, "Be not anxious." This word, "take no thoughts," or the word "anxious," in this context, beginning at 25, going all the way down to the end of the chapter, is found four times. It's found in verse number 25, verse number 27, verse number 28, and verse number 31. The word "anxious" is a word that simply means to worry. God says, don't worry. Don't worry about life. And because of that repeated phrase, we can conclude that that is the heart and the soul of this passage, of this context. Don't worry about the mundane things of this life. Don't worry about the physical things of this life. Now you and I both have to admit that we probably worry at times. We would have to admit that worry is a part of life, but listen to me. Worrying can be dangerous to the soul. Solomon says in Proverbs 12, verse 25, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression." Think about that. Anxiety in the heart of man. Being a worrywart. Worrying. Again, we're not talking about planning. We're talking about worrying about everything. It can be dangerous to the soul. Worrying in the heart of man can lead to depression. There are five quotes that I want to mention for your consideration this morning. And these five quotes all center around the subject of worry. Number one, worry is a thin stream of fear that trickles through the mind. If encouraged, it will cut a channel so wide that all other thoughts will be drowned in it. Notice the second quote. Worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Notice this third quote. Worrying is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Number four, worry is the equivalent of saying, "God, I know you mean well by what you say, but I'm just not sure you can pull it off." And then notice this last quote. Worrying is the sin of distrusting the promise and the providence of God. Jesus says, don't worry. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse number 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." Don't worry about the things of this life. Take that to God. Take those concerns to God and put them at His feet. Cast your cares upon Him. 1 Peter 5, verse number 7, because He cares for you. Now I want you to take this thought here in verse number 25 where Jesus says, take no thought about your life. Don't worry about your life and put it in its context. And when you put it in its context, this is what we can conclude. There is no place to worry about the basic commodities of this life. What we wear, what we're going to eat, where we're going to live. Again, don't worry about those things. Why? Because Jesus says that's the Father's area. That's the Father's concern. God doesn't want us to be preoccupied with the mundane passing things of this life. God wants us to set our affection, our mind on things that are above, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. God wants us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 19. And as we will see later on tonight in Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said He wants us to seek the kingdom first in our lives. But in order to set our mind on things that are above, in order for us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, in order for us to seek the kingdom first in our lives, we cannot worry about the physical. We cannot worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live. God has promised that if we'll seek Him first, He'll take care of all of that. It's learning to put your faith and trust in God, in His promises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. When God makes a promise, He's going to keep it. We could say that God's promises are backed up by His holy nature. God will fulfill. God will keep every promise that He makes to His children. You know, one of the most basic spiritual principles of Christianity is understanding that as God's spiritual children, we are not earthbound people. As God's spiritual children, we are not earthbound people. This world is not our home. Philippians 3, verse 20, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. And so how foolish we are to be worried about the material things of this life. Jesus says, don't worry about life. God has promised, I will take care of you. Now, as you look at this overall context, tonight when we come back, we're really going to look into the context. And I'm going to give you several reasons why we shouldn't worry. I'm just laying the foundation this morning, so don't get excited. I know you're thinking, hey, he's still in verse 25 and we're almost out of time and he hasn't gotten very far. Something's going on here. Tonight, we're going to really look at the text and we're going to see reasons for why we shouldn't worry. But some will break down this context. And when I'm talking about the context, I'm looking at Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, going all the way down through verse number 34, because that's the overall context. Some believe, 19 through 24, Jesus is addressing the rich. Beginning at verse 25 to the end of the chapter, He addresses the poor. Now, as you know, being rich has its challenges, and being poor has its challenges. Both the rich and both the poor can worry. You see, the temptation of the rich is to trust in their riches, and the temptation of the poor is to distrust the providence of God. But however you look at it, we can conclude this. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, God wants your focus to be on Him. Not on the things of this life. God wants your focus to be on Him. You know, one of the reasons why I love the Sermon on the Mount, it's so practical. When you stop and you just think about this great sermon. This sermon is so practical. Chapters 5 through 7. Jesus touches on every dimension of life in this sermon. He talks about our attitude. He talks about our commitment to Him, to His Word. He talks about our attitude toward morality. He talks about our spiritual activity, our prayers, our giving, fasting. But here in chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, He talks about our possessions, about how we use money. And He encourages us not to trust in the material. Remember what we said about His teaching. He spends more time in His teaching warning us about the material things of this life. You just stop and you think about all of the parables. Do you realize even the majority of the parables warn us about putting our faith, putting our trust in our riches? David said, I believe in Psalm 62, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Don't trust in your riches. Use what God has given you to His glory, and He will reward you. He will bless you spiritually speaking. The whole point of the context, again, as you look at all of these verses, when God is the center of your life, I love this, everything will work out. When God is the center of your life, everything will work out. But we have to do our part. We have to put our faith, we have to put our trust in God. Look at what Paul says in the book of Philippians. We're almost done. Look at what Paul says here in the book of Philippians. This is such a great chapter that encourages us to not seek our own will, but to seek God's will. And that's what Jesus is encouraging us to do. To seek God's will. Make God a priority of your life. Allow God to be the center of your universe, and everything will work out. Now here in the book of Philippians, Paul talks about Jesus Christ being our perfect example, having the mind of Christ in Philippians 2, verse 5. And we see here in Philippians chapter 2 how Paul followed Christ. And then Paul talks about Timothy, and he talks about Epaphroditus. But notice what he says beginning at verse 19. I'm going to read down through verse 21. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will, listen to it, naturally care for your state. Now, this is the punchline, verse number 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. That couldn't be said about Paul, though. It couldn't be said about Timothy or Epaphroditus. They weren't seeking their own will. No, they were seeking the will of God. They were seeking the benefit of their brethren, the spiritual well-being of their brethren, as we see in Philippians 2, 1 through 5. But as you think about what Paul is saying, that really describes so many in the world today. They are seeking their own. What interests them. How they can benefit. That's what they're concerned about. Just like the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. Look at that personal pronoun that you see being used throughout Luke chapter 12. I will do this and I will do that. God called that man a fool because God wasn't the center of his life. And God says, then, after you're gone, then who shall those things be? You know, the things that we're reading about, that we're talking about, the material things. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, all of those things, whatever they are, all of those things, when Christ returns again, will be burned up. There's really no value in those things. Don't put your faith, don't put your trust in those things. Put your faith and trust in God. God, allow God to be the center of your life and everything will be okay. Everything will work out. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 28, "For we know that all things work together," listen to it, "for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to His purpose." If you truly love the Lord, He will be the focus of your life. That is where your heart will be. And God wants us to know, "I'll take care of you. Everything will be all right." If you're not a Christian this morning, you can begin to allow God to be the center of your life, to be the focus of your life, by responding to His message, by responding to His truth that can set you free from the bondage of sin. So many of the world refuse to become a Christian because in their mind, they don't want some God telling them how to live. In their mind, they want to be free. But you and I both know that people outside of Jesus Christ are not free. They're in bondage. The only way that we can be free is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8, verse 36, "If the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed." And so by obeying the truth of God's Word, the gospel plan of salvation, hearing the good news, believing it, repenting of your sins, Luke 13, verse number 3, confessing the precious name of Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, verse 38, can you truly make God the center of your life? If we're baptized into Jesus Christ, the Lord will add us to His church, the kingdom, and we will become a citizen of God's kingdom. But I realize that the majority in here have already obeyed the gospel. I realize the majority in here are already Christians. And what Jesus teaches us and warns us about here in Matthew chapter 6 is so important, because the devil wants us to put our focus on the things of this life. Because he knows this life can be a huge distraction, and he knows that the things of this life can pull us away from God. That's why Jesus says, "I don't want you to worry about life. I want you to worry and I want your focus to be on Me. You seek the kingdom of God first." And all of these things, what things is He talking about? The things of this life, the necessities of this life. God says, "I will provide." Question, are you trusting in God? Is your focus centered on God? If you're a Christian, if it isn't, this morning is an opportunity for you to make those changes. And don't delay. Don't wait another day. If you're a child of God, allow your focus to be on God. Repent of your sins. That's what God encourages us to do. Anytime we find ourselves not being right with Him, repent of that. Make that change of mind that results in a change of life and put your focus on Him. This morning, if we can help you spiritually speaking in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.